It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Rush four. Dancing in the pocket. Intercepted. Picked off by Green. So the rookie involved in the last play, and it's involved in the next play, and the rookie out of Florida State with a huge pick.
Oh, baby! How about that? The waters have been calmed. Everybody can just take a deep breath. And a sigh of relief, baby. You got a little adversity. You got a little momentum stolen. You gave up another kickoff return. The special team still wasn't special. You had some hairy moments. You still have red zone issues. But you know what? It's a lot better to correct things after a victory, especially against the Seattle Seahawks, in which the Niners have beat six straight times. Three trips to Seattle for Brock Purdy. Three victories. And we asked for number 97. We asked for number 97, Nick Bosa. And you know what? He set the tone right away on the first three plays of the game. Nick Bosa was generational last night. That's what you need from the highest paid defensive player in football. 97 showed up. 54 showed up. And how about those kids? How about those kids? Malik Mustafa, Renardo Green, Isaac Garrido. In a body bag game, a physical football game, the Niners, even their record of 3-3, they get their first victory in the NFC, get their first victory in the NFC West. And baby, we got a victory Friday, and we'll buckle up for the Kansas City Chiefs. But we'll do that next week. Let's gloat and beat those 12s, those fake-ass fans up there in Seattle. Woo! Feels good on a victory Friday, Shasky.
You know, it's just, oh my God, what a game. Two other youngsters, Darrell Luter with a big punch out, yep. And my guy Bethune with the recovery on the punt. That was a very big play. I want to start with Debo. And Purdy was awesome in this game, and we'll get to Purdy. Debo Samuel, every time we try to throw this guy in the casket and just bury him and throw him away, he has a game like he had last night. And, you know, we talk about these great players, B.
Generational players.
No, but we do this thing. We're like, well, they didn't win anything. They're losers because they didn't win the ultimate championship. You're telling me, like I always say this to people, Tony Gwynn's not a winner. He's not an all-time player.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, exactly. Barry Bonds. We can go down the list, right? And in football, there's plenty of guys. Like, right. You know, like, yeah, the whole entire Buffalo Bills team, for crying out loud. Right. Talking about legends.
Thurman Thomas.
Exactly.
Bruce Smith.
Let's go to our team. Like, Patrick Willis wasn't a legend.
Yeah, right.
Couldn't have stepped on any field. Patrick Willis wasn't a winner. I'm watching Debo Samuel, and I know they've fallen short in the biggest games. Right. Believe me, I get it. That was a huge game. And in that first quarter, as that ball's in the air, Niner fans, I know you're thinking what I'm thinking. Oh, boy. And I loved it that we're throwing it and ripping it down right. Deep. But we're all thinking the same thing. Where's the safety? Where's the safety? Where's the safety? And then Debo Samuel, who's not a high point guy, who's not some down the field threat necessarily, goes up, snags it in midair, and the home run hitter, Debo Samuel, number one, goes flying into the end zone and is waving at fans. And I'm saying, this guy, every time I try to throw him in the ground, bury him in the casket. He comes out like the Undertaker. Debo Samuel, stop disrespecting Debo fans. I did it a couple years ago, and I apologize. Every time I'm ready to run this guy out of town, he comes back, and he has a game like he had yesterday.
Say I'm sorry, sir.
Yes, I will say I'm sorry again. And all you people doubting Debo, Debo is the heartbeat at times of this team. And I know he frustrates us. There are times he's not going to run hard. But come on, man. Yeah. When you're in a body bag game, you want a Debo Samuel on your field.
Hey, listen, man. Debo Samuel, you know how I feel about Debo Samuel. He's an all-time 49er. And I don't even think that was his most impressive catch, although it went for 76 yards. But I thought early on, helping out your quarterback. Sometimes Purdy's not going to throw the perfect pass, and I thought Purdy was very solid yesterday. Purdy was fine. Scrambling at times a little bit. They'll clean that up. It was a step in the right direction. But how about Deebo Samuel on a third down where Brock Purdy throws behind him on a drag route, and Deebo with his right hand taps it to himself on the key third down with the crowd roaring. You're deep in enemy territory. You're backed up against the wall, and he taps it to himself, makes that catch to give the 49ers a first down. That little play right there, and I said to myself, okay, Deebo's ready to roll. Now, no, it wasn't the biggest IU game, but obviously teams are focusing on Brandon Ayuk, which is opening up things for everything. And then, by the way, George Kittle. As Deebo Samuel makes his play, Shasky, in the 76-yard home run hitter, one play, big play, drive, touchdown, you go up 10-0, and shut up the 12s. Number 85, and there's been a lineage of great tight ends with the San Francisco 49ers. You know, the Russ Francis is getting them over for the New England Patriots after he sits out a year. You get your Britt Jones, right? You get your Vernon Davises. We love Greg Clark. We did. But you know what? George Kittle, when it's all said and done, we're going to look at number 85. George Kittle say, yeah, that's the best tight end in 49ers franchise history. The blocking. Deebo and dudes. Justin, how about early in the football game on a run block to Justin Love, and he just plants him into the turf, gets up looking for somebody else to block. He catches a pass on the sideline, and instead of running out of bounds, Shasky, he's looking for contact, and he goes and bulls over somebody. He doesn't care about getting injured. He just wants to send a message, set a tone for his football team. And then the great out route catching that pass on the dive for Brock Purdy, and then the second touchdown pass, and we'll get into the numbers of what he's done against Seattle during the 6-game winning streak. George Kittle, when it's all said and done, we don't talk about it enough. We just don't. He's an all-time 49er, and his number may go up into the rafters in 49ers franchise history. George Kittle is that dude. Also, alongside Deebo Samuel, and alongside Kyle Juszczyk, and alongside this physical football team, that when it's time to inflict punishment and set a tone and win a big game, these guys have won a lot of big games. So give George Kittle his flowers as well today, Shasky. This guy had a monster game against the 12s yesterday.
No doubt about it. And B, I'm watching Brock Purdy yesterday. I just thought he was masterful. Early on, the legs and his ability to scramble and kind of just make plays happen. There was a couple plays, we're all holding our breath, but I thought he was excellent running for first downs on key third downs, realizing where, hey, if they're going to be in man and I'm going to get pressured, there's a lot of room to run underneath. But he did a great job using his eyes. Like, there was a matchup pre-snap he wanted to go to. He used his eyes, instead of just staring that guy down, to move a safety, move a linebacker out of the way, and then rip it. He had a throw to Jennings on third down that was just perfect. He had that throw to Ayuk over the middle, which was just, I mean, you want to talk about double A anticipation. It was just an absolute dime. And then the throw to Kittle was...
It was a laser beam. It was outside amazing. The numbers, it was unbelievable. So everybody was clicking. Now, the red zone issues, we'll get to that. Still not great. I don't love the play calling. I don't love the personnel. That's a Shanahan issue right there. But you know what? I'll say this about Shanahan. Is that the most emotion he's ever shown on the sideline during a football game? He was pumping his fist. He was doing a touchdown sign. He was yelling back and forth. You can feel the intensity from the head coach knowing that this is a big game to get back to 500. And look, if you get a split over the next two games, I don't think a Niner fan's going to complain about being 4-4 going into the bye week. But at least with the win yesterday, you allow yourself to think big and get greedy. So I thought Shanahan, look, situational play calling was suspect, but I thought overall the game plan was really good.
No doubt about it. And Shanahan showing emotion while Al Michaels shows none was the perfect balance. I had to get that in. D'Amino Lenore is another player I just don't think we talk enough about. I think D'Amino Lenore is a great football player.
Yep.
The guy stuffs the run. He'll blitz. He's a great cover corner. He had the punch out in the red zone, which was just a brilliant play. He's always healthy. He plays inside, outside. I just think he's an excellent football player we don't talk enough about. I thought D'Amino Lenore was fantastic last night.
He was.
Number two needs to get signed long term. I don't want to see that guy go. He
won't.
He's
he won't
a great
gone.
Player. Bonte, he's a great player.
He won't be gone. Michael Silva wrote earlier in the offseason in the Chronicle saying that He's the next superstar with the San Francisco 49ers, and he plays like a superstar, and he talks like a superstar, and when he's on that football field with the swagger, he looks like a superstar. He played big yesterday against DK of Jackson Smith and Jigba without Charvarius Ward, which was hairy. I'm thinking, boy, no Charvarius Ward, no number seven? You're going to depend on the looters, the George Odoms, and George Odom freaked me out a couple times. They're going to have to figure that out. Hopefully Malik Mustafa is going to be healthy here, but to have Renardo Green alongside Diabador Lenore. How many Niner fans out there had the vision of like, wow, in 3-4 years, we're going to have Renardo Green and Diabador Lenore on the outside play a corner? I like that scenario. I like that situation. So you're right about number two. Just real quick, back to George Kittle for a second, just to show how dominant he's been against Seattle over his last six games. Last six games against Seattle, 26 catches on 35 targets, 464 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. He had to 9 for 181. He backed it up with a 4 for 93. He had a 2 for 37, which was real quiet in that wild card game. But then you got touchdowns galore, 5 for 76. Last night, 6 for 58 and a couple tugs. It gets the rival. And we heard that yesterday about George Kittle. Let the youngsters know, when we play Seattle and go up to Seattle, it's a different beast. These are the games we gotta have. This is a rivalry game, and we want to continue to dominate this rivalry. And the youngsters responded to George Kittle. They really did, because everybody played like they were desperate yesterday up there against Seattle in a monster game. So George Kittle, in his last six against Seattle, has been all-time dominant against the biggest rivals. We think Russell Wilson is being a 49er killer. Well, George Kittle, as I went off with Soft the Dick yesterday, they said the guy they hate is George Kittle. I see why they hate George Kittle, because he continues to dominate against them, man. What a game for that tight end.
It's so funny how everybody's constantly trying to like take someone off this team. We got to move this guy. Got to cut that guy. Got to move it. Like George, okay, he makes a fraction of what all the top receivers make, okay? So tight ends just by nature are great value. And this guy is an all-timer. Speed, power, catch radius. I mean, now he's making acrobatic red zone catches. He's done it multiple times this year. Now they're actually running mesh plays, not just for him, but for Debo. There was the Debo play. They ran the mesh route, and it was like a jump ball, kind of like fade. I thought it was a great ball by Purdy. Right. Debo's the shortest guy of all those wide receivers. If that's for Kittle, that's a touchdown. Like, there's not a question in my mind. But I love that they were actually running matchup plays. They waited till third down to run them, but I'm okay. Like, that's growth. Bonte, he's a legend. 85 is an all-time player. He's going to come on and off the field 1,000 times. He's so physical. He's going to get hurt. That's just baked into it.
No,
but
it is.
But I know when push comes to shove, I'm getting all I can from George Kittle.
No doubt. Debo, George Kittle. And then, again, I want to go back to Nick Bosa, because the stat sheet is not going to give Bosa his credit. And I've called out Bosa all week long. I've called him out all season long. He is the most important player. He may not be the best player on that defense, because I thought Fred Warner had some woo hits, and I thought he set a tone yesterday. Mm-hmm. Fred was flying, could have had an interception. Fred was back yesterday. Number 54 was back. But 97, Nick Bosa. What he did yesterday, set the edge on the run, making sure Kenneth Walker III couldn't get outside, containing outside, which we haven't seen a lot of from Nick Bosa at times. Teams running at him. Well, Seattle stopped running at him. And then when it came to pushing the pocket, forcing interceptions, forcing incompletions, number 97, Nick Bosa, was in the backfield all game long. And that's the guy I'm looking for. That's the defensive end that the Niners paid to be. Yesterday, Nick Bosa on primetime television. Kirk Herbstreit couldn't stop talking about the guy. It was like the Bosa broadcast. And we're talking about number 97 every two plays.
They are Ohio State buddies.
Yeah, they are.
So,
they
you know, I mean, it they makes are. Sense to me. But you know, the first drive, obviously, you referenced the him in the backfield, and he's grabbing Charbonnet, I believe, you know, jersey. And then they ended up getting a loss on that play. But, like, Bosa caused that. Mm-hmm. That interception, they're marching down on that first drive. Yep. And he just whaps Geno. And you know Geno felt the footsteps. And so he threw it a little high. And Malik Mustafa, I said to you when we first saw him, I go, dude, he kind of reminds me. And again, Bob Sanders is an all-time player. His body doesn't give out, he's like a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Bob Sanders, but what I mean is like short, explosive, probably going to have a short career because of how, like you, if you play that way, the way Malik Mustafa does at that size, you're not going to last long. And probably I don't even know, did he get yanked or did he get hurt?
He got an ankle injury.
So that was an ankle. Because Odom played a lot at the end. I didn't know.
An ankle. Mustafa had to leave. That's why I was texting. I was in the thread saying George Odom. And George Odom, you know what? George Odom. You better bring another. You better bring another safety in here. Let me just say that, because George Odom struggles in pass coverage. And what did my old broadcast partner say? The other team will let you know what your weakness is. Well, Seattle saw number 30, and they went at George Odom all second half. That's a problem there. We're gonna, but it's good to have that problem after a victory. But George Odom scares the living daylights out of me.
I totally agree. And there were multiple DK drops and then multiple infractions on Seattle to negate big DK plays, the touchdown being one of them, where they went right over the top of Odom. I thought Mustafa and Brown for the first quarter and a half when they were out there together were hitting. They were hitting and they were flying and they were wrapping up. I love Mustafa. I'm not saying he's Bob Sam. I'm just saying he's a small guy. Who packs a punch, and his vertical, there were a couple plays that were airmails, and he comes flying out of nowhere, and I'm going, dude, this guy gives us a level of athleticism I haven't seen on the back end in a long time.
You know, and I thought coming in now, when you think about it, and I got some numbers on Deebo versus Seattle because he's also dominated.
I love Deebo.
Kittle and Deebo.
Deebo legitimately was one of my father's favorite players because of the way he played. My dad loved physical run-through-your-face guys.
You know what? Since we're here, I remember going back to that draft. We had a conversation the day of that draft because I remember doing a watch party at Nick's Crispy Tacos.
Oh, yeah.
It was during the playoffs at the NFL draft that year. And we were talking about who to get. And I know you love DK. And I love DK, too. I think DK could be an all-time player. And I remember you said, I would take DK in the top five. And you were right. He's worth that. But the guy I wanted in that draft, because of the time they spent in the Senior Bowl, it's like there's something about this Deebo Samuel guy that I want. And it's rare that your favorite team takes the player that you want coming out of college. How many years the Warriors and the Niners have never taken a player that I want? I'm like, how did he go there? Why? Why couldn't the Niners draft him? But they drafted Deebo Samuel, one of the first in my lifetime where I'm like, wow, they drafted a player I really, really wanted. And you don't know what he is. He could be a receiver. He's playing running back yesterday. I just call him the ultimate playmaker, the ultimate game changer. Put the ball in his hands, and he's going to make plays. And he reminded everybody yesterday that if you miss a tackle on him and he gets an open space, he has the ability to take a 10-yard catch, 70 yards. The ability to take a 15-yard catch, 80 yards. And so Deebo Samuel, in his last eight games against Seattle, Shasky, 49 catches, 877 yards, and 8 touchdowns. And that's against a division opponent.
It's incredible. With great secondary. Like, Witherspoon's a great player.
Yeah, Witherspoon and their safeties, man, body wet. Last eight games against Seattle, Deebo Samuel, 49 catches, 877 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
He's dominated Seattle.
Monty, when you go to the game, like I know, like not everyone goes to the game. Most people that are Niner fans are watching. Very few actually go to the games.
Yep.
But there's something I pick up because there is a tangible thing that you can feel when you go to the games. Opening night, it was me and Rocco against the Jets Monday night, and they're coming out of the tunnel, and you just watch the way the other players respond to Deebo Samuel on the field before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocco turns to me, he's like, there's just no way they're ever getting rid of, obviously down the line, but like right now, there's just no way they're getting rid of this guy. He means too much to those guys on that field and what they do. Is he going to have a dud? Sure. All the great players have duds. Look around the league. Mahomes will have a dud here, and Josh Allen.
Mahomes has had duds.
Jerry Rice had duds, right? And I love Jerry Rice. One of the most consistent best players ever in any sport. Deebo Samuel brings so many things, and in the big time bright light games, I know the Super Bowl, he didn't have his best moment, but that NFC Championship game, he was monstrous. And against obviously Philadelphia last year, I mean, he close curtain those guys.
No.
Last night in Seattle, I thought the first quarter early in the game, that's one of those momentum home run plays. Like when we go to his montage of highlights when his career is over, he is going to have so many sick 50 plus yard runs. It's not even funny.
In the swing games as well. When you think about the swing games, Jimmy Garoppolo, Chicago. He's in Chicago. We don't know if he's going to start again. Trey Lance is lurking, right? And Shanahan has said, we may have gotten to Trey Lance if they didn't win that football game. And he takes that wide receiver screen 80-plus yards and gets tackled at the one-yard line to flip that football game. He's had moments like that in all the big-time swing games. So Kittle, Deebo, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, Purdy, the stars play like stars. But boy, it was great to see the complimentary pieces. Isaac Grindo, Patrick Taylor Jr., Jordan Mason again. Hopefully his shoulder's okay. The offensive line blew open hole after hole after hole after hole. And then you get this young secondary with Deomeneur Lenore, Renardo Green, Malik Mustafa, and we're feeling good about ourselves. And you know what? They did another thing late in the second half. Devontae Campbell wasn't on the field. The D. Winters movement was happening. The Dre Greenlaw movement is happening. The Niners will move on from him, and you got great complimentary pass rushes on this defensive line. Oh, I'm fired up today. 888-957-9570 is a number, Niner fans. How are we feeling on the Victory Friday?
You know it's a great day when Ronnie Bell makes a play on special teams.
I was going to say
Ronnie Bell!
I was going to say
Where are you at, Niner fans? It's a Friday, baby!
We got a kicker. Well, we may need another kicker.
Who cares?
Right,
that guy couldn't kick it that far anyway.
Oh, and you know what? I thought about this as we go to break. Damon and SF.
Make sure you don't miss that break, bro.
We're going to miss this break.
We're platooning kickers.
Damon and SF yesterday dropped off the phone lines. He had a caption that said, Wisnowski's the X Factor. Well, you know what? Mitch Wisnowski punted his ass off yesterday. Three inside the 20, a couple inside the 5-yard line. Wisnowski was solid yesterday. So, Damon, call back. You were right. Wisnowski was an X Factor. 888-957-9570. What you like? What didn't you like? What do the Niners need to improve on? Who was the key in that game yesterday? We're giving game balls away. Niners beat the Hawks for the sixth straight time, 36-24 yesterday, as the Niners are tied for first place at the moment. More coming up as we recap this game, brought to you by Robert Half.
Wide open, making the grab. Samuel, the tackle is missed. Debo off to the end zone.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Motherfucking Rose with my boys Vontae and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Debo Samuel for Brock Purdy. Al Michaels on the call for Amazon Prime, and the Niners get a much-needed victory. 36-24, I should say. Beating Seattle for the sixth straight time. Purdy, 18-28. 255 yards, three touchdown passes. Debo Samuel, three catches, a buck 02, and a tug, including that 76-yarder. Look, the red zone woes are still there. They were 3-5 yesterday in the red zone. Didn't love the play calling. Didn't love the play selection. Didn't love the personnel on some of those plays. But a win is a win, and it's better to nitpick after a victory here as Bosa showed up. Warner showed up. The youngsters. And that's a big misnomer here, Shashky, where everybody was fired up. And I get it. We love when a youngster pops, right? And a lot of fans have been asking for Renardo Green. A lot of fans are asking for Tatum Bethune. You've been asking for Tatum Bethune from day one as Devontae Campbell gets cooked, right? But the big misnomer is that Shanahan never does play the youngsters. And he actually does. Go back to 2017. Reuben Foster start. He started. He played. Solomon Thomas played. May not have been good, but he played. Kelo Witherspoon, he played. C.J. Beathard, George Kittle, Taylor, D.J. Jones, they all played. Adrian Colbert, they played. 2018, Mike McGlinchey, he started day one. Dante Pettis had to play to get to the doghouse. Yeah, Fred Warner. Tarvarius Moore played. He played meaningful snaps. You know what I'm saying? You move on to 2019. Nick Bosa, Debo Samuel, Mitch Wisnowski still here. Dre Greenlaw got to play after the injury to Quan Alexander.
Breida.
Justin School played. Matt Breida, who's an undrafted free agent, he played. All right? Kinlaw played. Ayuk was in the doghouse, but he played. McKivitz played. Charlie Warner played. You know what I'm saying? The next year, 2021, Aaron Banks, he redshirted. But Trey Sermon, Ambry Thomas, they got a sniff. They got a sniff. Jaylon Moore, he got a sniff. Hufanga got a sniff. Elijah Mitchell, did he play as a seventh-round pick? So you get my point here. Shanahan plays youngsters. But the great thing about the 49ers, as opposed to the Giants, they don't yo-yo their guys. Once they go to these youngsters, they try to stick with them as long as possible. And you got to really play yourself off the football field. So for the foreseeable future, we're going to see Renardo Green. We're going to see Malik Mustafa. We're going to see Tig Brown, who got to play last year after the injury to Hufanga. We're going to see, at some point, Tatum Bethune. We see Dominic Pooney. Shanahan, Lynch have done a great job drafting, and you know what? We're going to see youngsters play with this core group, man, and it was great to see yesterday. They contributed to a big-time division win.
The Renardo Green interception is one that sticks out to me because there's been a lot of like, hey, ball gets tipped up in the air, we make an interception. Mm-hmm. Ball is clearly overthrown, thrown right in between your numbers, and you make an interception. The Malik Mustafa one is a great example. Yep. It's an overthrow, he's there, boom. I mean, it's a great play.
Great play.
I've seen a lot of Niners safeties drop that ball, so trust me, it's a great play. How many times have you seen a Niner DB cut in front of a route the way that he did and read that DK crosser the way that he did and then just snag it? He felt the hip, jumped in front of him, and basically ran the route instead of him.
I don't know if DK ran the wrong route or if Geno Smith threw it to the wrong spot. DK broke his – he cut it up on that route, but you know what? For Renardo Green to read that and take advantage of that, you have to give the rookie props. And the fact is that defense coordinator Nick Sorensen had the faith to say, hey, Renardo Green, you're going to be number 14. You're going to be in front of number 14 at times today. You're going to guard DK at Lumen Field in Seattle, knowing they're going to take shots at you. And the young man didn't flinch.
Well, and the thing that I think Niner fans need to just come to grips with, like, guess what? It's a passing league. Guys are going to get cooked. Yep. Every guy in the planet is going to get cooked.
Yep.
All right? And so it's just minimizing and not having huge penalties. And that's why I think 22, Yadam, a lot of people are all over him because of the big penalties and then the big chunk plays, right? Like, and I get it. Renardo Green got tested over and over and over yesterday. And this is baptism by fire. I thought on the touchdown play late, and the game was kind of in hand, so I don't want to make a big deal of it. But I thought Lockett went flying into him at the top of the route and just pushed him off. Yep. It should have been OPI on that fourth down. Other than that, Renardo played a really good game yesterday, but they targeted him on the play in the red zone. Thank God DK's foot was out of bounds.
That was a huge play. Huge play right there before the halftime. And to hold Seattle to 3 and keep it at 16-3, even though the Niners should have been up, they should have at least been up 24-0 at that point. They kind of played with their food there with the red zone walls in the first half. That was a huge play to keep Seattle from scoring a touchdown. They could have stole the ball middle before halftime. So you walk into the locker room at 16-3. By the way, when the red and gold win, our listeners win. The morning after every victory, be sure to tune in to the Morning Roast for your chance to win a jersey. Today, it'll be around 7:30. So stay tuned for that presented by Habba's Law, because Habba's Law always puts people in the best position to win. So Renardo Green, excellent, excellent debut with the 49ers. He was ready for his moment. And now you have a lot of faith when teams do go three wide. I could go Ward, Lenore, and Renardo Green.
Yeah, Ward's got to get healthy. There's no doubt about it. Can you just give me a minute on some tiny negatives? I want to spend all day on the positives. Just give me a little on a couple things that are just driving me bananas. Number one, I get it. It's a backup kicker. The guy was kicking the ball 40 yards on the kickoffs.
Oh, dude, it's not good.
Geez Louise. And then, number 38, is it Mahoney or Maroney? He whiffed in space.
Oh, did you see that?
Like three times. I said, hey, guy, look, if you're going to be so fast down, slow down a little and just at least get a hand on somebody. Is it me?
No, I've noticed that right away. It was the first note I took. I said, who's 38? And I was like, dear God, the special teams, man. And both special teams.
Ain't nothing you can do about.
No, we can't. Seattle and the Niners.
It was bad.
It was all-time bad. Who was trying to be worse yesterday? Seattle coughed up a fumble on a kickoff return.
And should have had a second one.
It should have had a second one. But then the Niners going up 23-3, you let Chenault. breaks it back.
That's the second week in a row where the Niners scored a touchdown. Yep. This time was the Kittle touchdown. Last week, it was the Yamin or Lenore blocked a punt. Blocked field goal for a touchdown.
Jordan Elliott with the block, Lenore with the return.
But on the very next play, that was the Dallas one where he went like 40 yards and blasted and took out your kicker. This week, you score the touchdown on Kittle and then you give up a touchdown.
But this is what happens when you have injuries. And you force guys to play special teams who shouldn't be on the football field. Jalen Mahoney, if the Niners are healthy, I'm not sure he's on the kickoff team, right?
Yeah, 38.
But you need bodies. Jalen Mahoney, he whiffed on the first kickoff. I was like, damn, who is that?
And then, who is that?
You can't do that.
No, and Devondre Campbell, multiple times shooting the gap. Like, the play call is there, right? This is where I'll kind of defend Sorensen. The play call is there. You guys shoots the gap.
Yep.
and just eats grass, or I guess in this case, turf. Yeah. All right. Another couple quick ones. They ran these mid screens over and over and over again.
Didn't everybody call for the screen game, though? Everybody was calling for screens.
I'm talking
about Seattle. Oh, Seattle
ran a bunch of screens in between the hash marks, essentially, over and over and over again. And then the last thing. Jacob Cowan, figure out the footwear. You fell multiple times on these punt returns.
The special teams units are just.
Well, Jacob Cowan, he caught a ball inside the 10-yard line. He caught a ball at the 6. I guess you don't want it to bounce with a defender right there, but I'd rather just see you bounce and not catch the ball at the 6-yard line. Just let it bounce and take your chances on it being a touchback. So he's got to clean that up. Let's go to Troy from Clayton. He's been on hold for a while.
Hey, Troy.
He wants to give Nick Bosa some love. And you know what, Troy? Nick Bosa deserves a love this morning. He dominated. It doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but over and over, he put pressure on Geno Smith, forced incompletions, forced interceptions, played well against the run. Go ahead and give Bosa love because he deserves it this morning.
Guys, I had called a couple of days ago and I was very critical of Nick and it said, you know, at some point you got to raise your hand, look yourself in the mirror and hold yourself accountable and you know, different players, you can exercise professionalism and rise to a leadership level in different ways. It's not always a Hunter Pence pulling the team, you know, outside the dugout and saying, I'm not done yet. Sometimes it's a Buster Posey. He doesn't necessarily raise his hand in the locker room and speak up like that. It's the way in which you prepare for the game, the way in which you play the game, and the way in which you carry yourself. And last night, Nick did that. Sometimes you hear, you know, great players will cause the other players on the team to rise to a higher level. And I think Nick did that last night. So there was a play, I don't know who he got to, but there was a play when they replayed it, he had the look of a madman on his face. And if Nick brings madman, other players will follow that. And that is a different way of rising to a leadership level because he doesn't seem to be the guy that really, you know, seeks out kind of the microphone or the post-game, you know, interview. And there are different ways to rise to a leadership level. He did that last night.
Great point, Troy. Great point. He rose, and he brought guys along with him. I thought Nick Bosa was unbelievable last night. That's the guy that we want to see on a daily basis. That's top five DN type of play right there. That's the guy you pay to play for. I mean, to play like that, Nick Bosa, man, he was awesome yesterday.
And I know we got more to get into. I want to talk about just Seattle for a second, their personnel. But, Bonte, they showed a stat. We have so many people covering the team. Right. They do a great job. I had never seen that stat.
I've never seen it either.
Bosa's get-off time on the line is the fastest in the league.
I had no idea.
I couldn't believe that statistic.
I started wondering, boy, if you didn't have him so far outside, maybe he does get a little more sacks. But you know what? His get-off was great. He pushed the pocket. He beat double teams yesterday. Nick Bosa was very, very good yesterday on that field as the Niners get a much-needed win. Chris in San Antonio, we're going to get to you. Give me some positives. Give me some negatives. And 888-957-9570. There's a lot of candidates for the game ball. Who are you giving your game ball to from last night as the Niners beat the Seahawks 36-24? Who gets your game ball from last night? Is it Purdy? Is it Shanahan? Is it Juice? Is it Garindo? There's a lot of candidates for game balls for yesterday's win in Seattle. The 6th straight over the Seattle Seahawks. Brock Purdy, 3 trips to Seattle, 3 victories. Oh, we're feeling good here on a Victory Friday. More coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I am happy with Brock Purdy.
His second. So Kittle went back to the locker room, comes back. Now he's going to celebrate.
Oh, that's a backbreaker.
Hey, yo, this is your man. You're listening to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby, indeed. Oh, baby, indeed. We're giving out a jersey at 7:30 because when the Red Gold wins, our listeners win. The morning after every victory, be sure to tune in to the Morning Roast for your chance to win a jersey. Today, it'll be around 7:30. So stay tuned, presented by Habba's Law, because Habba's Law always puts people in the best position to win. This segment is sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Know the Seahawks are not like the Niners. They're not like them at all. As George Kittle catches 2 touchdowns yesterday, last 6 against Seattle, 26 catches, 464 yards, and he has scored 7 touchdowns in those 6 games. And as the Niners have flipped this rivalry, Shasky, they've completely flipped it on its head. No Russell Wilson, no victory for Seattle against the 49ers. They go up there ahead on their business yesterday, 36-24, in a much-needed win for the red and gold.
You know I have a man crush on DK Metcalf.
No doubt.
He's a basket case. I freely admit it. The guy is, he's on edge. I think he needs an offensive coach, and I think he needs somebody who can wrap their arms around him. He needs to be coddled, and I think he's a great example of a guy, like, oh my goodness, if Kansas City ever gets their hands on him, because I think he is not made for long for Seattle. I just don't see it. He needs an offensive coach, but they do draft really well. And I know that quarterback is like a big question mark. It's the most important spot. Geno Smith's like 21-20, I believe, as the Seahawks starter.
Yep.
Jackson Smith in Jigba is an excellent player.
Yep.
Chris Broutrunner, physical, great footwork. Witherspoon is a stud. Mm-hmm. I love him in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Reed destroyed them all night. He was impossible to move. That's the defensive tackle. And then this guy, Kenneth Walker, is just an absolute monster. They do have players.
They've got players, no doubt about it. But they did not execute well, and I think that had a lot to do with the 49ers' defensive line. I thought they set the tone, including number 97. And as we give away game balls today, my game ball would go to number 97. Now, there's a lot of candidates. But when I asked my star player, my highest paid player, to step up on a Thursday night after the week that we had, losing to Arizona, kind of calling out some of the adjustments there, talking a little bit, which really has some of the fans thinking, wait a minute here, go get the quarterback. Well, Bosa went to go get the quarterback over and over, and Geno Smith felt them all night long. So if I had a game ball to give away, it'd be the number 97, Nick Bosa.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give mine to Brock Purdy. And the reason being is that, you know, I watched the game back again this morning, and just only a couple of, like, missed throws in terms of accuracy. One with Debo over the middle, and, you know, I think the one to Debo that he caught was not the greatest. You're talking about the first down one on third that you referenced earlier.
Right, throw it behind him
exactly.
On the drag route.
Outside of that, he was almost flawless in terms of anticipation, pre-snap reading the matchups, you know, ball placement, accuracy. He hit Patrick Taylor on a couple underneath passes. And, you know, they win a game without Jordan Mason, essentially, in the second half.
Right.
They win a game where things weren't going great for them in terms of just some odd penalties and situational stuff. And, you know, I didn't think the protection was the best, though I thought Juice and Trent blocked their butts off,
right.
And Pooney blocked his butt off yesterday. I just thought Brock was excellent. And in terms of not turning the ball over on a short week, he gave me everything I need my franchise quarterback to give me.
No, he was sensational. Sensational.
Legs?
Since scrambling, the ability to extend plays, I never want to take that out of him. I want him to continue that quality of moving around in the pocket, extending plays with his legs, because that's the difference in today's NFL. You look at Patrick Mahomes last Monday night against New Orleans. What's the difference offensively for Kansas City? Sure, they're converting third downs and they're running the ball well, but his ability, Patrick Mahomes, that is, to extend plays. Mm-hmm. This is why you get scared when you play the Josh Allen's of the world, when you play the Lamar Jackson's of the world, when you play the Jordan Love's of the world. You're thinking to yourself, these guys can extend plays, man. Joe Burrow, that's the difference between being a top 5, top 7 quarterback to being a 15th best quarterback to the 20th best quarterback, because you can use your legs to extend plays and give your playmakers a chance to make plays.
And I know Garendo at the end of the game, B, is going to get a lot of love for that big, you know, burst run. I mean, the speed was spectacular.
Right.
Jordan Mason was going to run for like 140 in this game if he stayed healthy.
He was running hard.
Oh, my goodness.
He
had that
hard.
One run for about 30 yards.
He had the 38-yarder.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, it was 38. Yarder. Okay. He, like, the shiftiness, the cutback, the arm. He does these stiff arms in the open field. Again, people are going to say Marshawn Lynch. Steven Jackson's the guy he reminds me of. I think he's a beast. Lawrence Maroney or Marion Barber. There's a lot of guys that played that physical brand. He's just such a unique player. If they could ever get CMC and J.P. Mason on the field healthy at the same time with Debo Samuel, I mean, you got thunder and lightning.
Yeah. What you think about the, before we go back out to the lines, 888-957-9570, if you got a game ball to give away to somebody and give me some positives or negatives about the win last night, if there's one thing that has to rectify itself and has to clean, they have to clean up the red zone. They have to clean up. The first drive they went on, 13 plays, 90 yards, which took 7 minutes and 28 seconds off the clock. It converted third downs, which is beautiful. Purdy scrambled on the first two third downs. Remember that? Third and two at your own 11. He scrambles for 3 yards. Later on, it's third and one. I love the play action pass to give the ball to Deebo Samuel. Deebo makes a great play for 11 yards. I thought Purdy and company were excellent. Now, they settled for a 25-yard field goal because you get the first to go that the Seattle 10. And what did you get? A predictable run play, right, from Jordan Mason. And he had no score on that to complete that drive. But I thought it did set a tone, Shasky, to take over 7 minutes off the clock. You take the crowd out of the game. You wear their defense out, and you go 90 yards to flip the field position. I thought it was a great tone setter. Even though they ended up with 3 points, they've got to clear up the red zone efficiency, but I thought the opening drive was really, really good. And it was a good script by Shanahan and Purdy.
Yeah, the opening drive was really, really nice, and the predictable first down runs are just becoming a thing. And for me, it's like first and goal from the 9, first and goal from the 10, and it's like, Come on, guys, we gotta throw the ball. That's right. Why I liked Purdy later on in the game, throwing the ball into the end zone.
Yeah,
throw the ball into the end zone.
It's unbelievable they ran the ball every time.
How about this sequence? I think it was, I don't know, the fourth or fifth possession. At the time, they're up 13-0, okay? And they get all the way down to Seattle's 13, mm-hmm. and then they lose a yard, all right? And now it's second and 11, and then you got an incomplete pass. It's just a bad pass by Purdy. He had Deebo on the little crosser, and then you throw a Kyle Juszczyk screen?
Yeah. Well, Shanahan discussed that play after the game because they were a block away from it popping. It was a block away from popping, but you know,
this is playmakers in the red zone.
I get it.
Juice is just not one of the top guys.
Yeah, but you probably try to outsmart yourself saying they're not going to guard Juszczyk. They're going to forget about him in the red zone because you do have to get him deep on Ayuk. I get it. And then I would complain, but I like to run a good screen pass on third and 11 on his NCAA football. So who am I to talk? No, I'm kidding.
If we were all sitting in just a quiet space, the beginning of the year, and we're like, lethal threats on screen downs, third and long. Juice is like the 10th guy on the roster. I'd rather give the ball to Trent Williams on that play than give it to Juice.
Well, Juice scored a touchdown yesterday.
Oh, yeah, on the fullback dive later in the game.
Juice has made some big plays. I mean, hell.
No, he made some plays, but you get where I'm going.
Yeah, you know, but Juszczyk is a good piece for this team, man. I mean, he did score 2 touchdowns in Super Bowl 54. He has had big plays in big games, running seam routes or whatnot.
My philosophy is simple. In the red zone.
I don't love the play call.
In the red zone, I call plays for playmakers.
No, I hear you.
It's going to be my template.
No, I hear you. It wasn't the greatest play call. I didn't like the sequence of plays on that. I didn't like the personnel during that 3-play sequence. Again, you have to clean up the red zone as the 49ers. Now they go 3-5 yesterday in the red zone. They did start scoring touchdowns there in the second half. So right now, 3-5 last night, that means they are 12 of 27 in the red zone on the season. Again, not 50%. You got to clean it up. Let's go to Chris down in San Antonio. Chris, what's up, baby?
What's up? Victory Friday, fellas. Monte Shasky. Let's start off. So the good, I would say, is the defense came to play. You know, they made their stops. They had interceptions, you know, we fumbled and whatnot. So my defense came to play. The dogs didn't quite eat, but Bosa led that charge. And I'm with you, Bonte. I think Bosa deserves that game ball because he led that defense. Warner was a beast on the field. I like the way he swallowed up that screen. I think it was in the early fourth quarter, late in the third. They tried to run the screen. He just broke that thing up. It was a one-yarder. On the offense, featuring Kittle. You got Purdy, Kittle. I mean, that's fire. Deebo, they fed him the ball, the running game. They went back to the roots. I love that part of the offense. Now, the not so good, we're going to talk about the red zone, like we were just talking about right now. We need to clean that up. Red zone needs to change. We need to make some scheme changes. And lastly, the special teams. Oh, my God, the special teams. There needs to be some changes. That special teams is killing me.
Special teams, Chris. Hey, thanks for the phone call here on the Victory Friday. Special teams is, I mean, you play Kansas City, mini bye. Shanahan's got to figure something out. These are going to lose your football games. That's why when Isaac Rindo, everybody was at the end of the game, oh, well, smart enough to slide the run clock. And I'm thinking to myself, no, score a touchdown. The last thing I need is on fourth down to try to kick a chip shot field goal if something goes awry on special teams. I wanted him to score.
Well, okay. I didn't see the postgame, the clarity of it. Did he get tripped? Because it looked like 21 grabbed him by the ankles, and then it ended up being a slide because of the way he was tackled, because he was running so hard. Or did he intentionally go down?
It looked like he got tripped up, but Shanahan feels like, here, I'll let Shanahan explain it after the game.
I didn't know.
Let's get the sound up.
Running the ball pretty well all day, and they're going to really commit.
Let's play it over.
You always feel like guys are close. I mean, we were running the ball pretty well all day. You know, when they're going to really commit to stopping the run and try to get in those eight-man fronts. Got a good bounce read where we got outside, and usually when there's not two safeties there, which I don't think there were, you break them, and he's got the speed to do it. Said he's an eyelash slower than Raheem, and they had a pretty fast guy chasing him, but he said he wanted to give that to Juice. So it ended up working out well and got to run more time off the clock.
Ended up working out well, but then later on he quipped, and he said, yeah, I don't believe him. I think he slid on purpose because Garrido said, oh, I wanted to give it to Juice. And Shanahan's like, nah, I don't believe you. He wanted him to score.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched it back so many times. I thought that the guy grabbed him. Who knows?
He tripped him up. I think it did have an effect on the tackle. There's questions about it. It's just a theory that maybe he would slide. And I was like, that theory of him sliding, yeah, I don't want him doing that. Scored a touchdown.
You don't want the Brian Westbrook, we're not going to give you the ball. Okay, that's fine.
I don't want that. Because they still had three timeouts.
So then you
settle for a field goal. What if they block it?
Last thing I want to do is count
on these special teams. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I mean, but I do believe that there was a sequence in this game. End of the third quarter, Kenneth Walker scores a touchdown. They had like a six-minute drive, Seattle does. They cut it to 23-17. And the Niners essentially go three and out. And it was like pressure, and they're feeling good. They punt the ball back, and it clearly hits the guy from Seattle in the thumb. I don't know what the sequence of replays, and then the NFL replay of Booth and the officials and Amazon. I don't know what their justification was. I saw some tweets after the game. They botched it. The NFL completely botched it. When the viewer at home on their couch sees that it hit the guy in the thumb, clearly the thumb is moving, the ball is changing, the direction of the ball is changing. It should have been Niner ball. It was clear cut. They had all the evidence in the world, and they're pointing the finger at Amazon saying we didn't see the feed that they had. How does that happen?
I don't know. And thankfully, the Niners were able to overcome it. Which we wanted to see. We wanted to see the Niners face some adversity and win a tight game. Well, yesterday, it was starting to play out like the Rams and the Cardinals game, where you completely dominate the first half, the first three quarters. And yet, Seattle's now 23-17, with not one chance, but two chances to take a lead. And the Niners' defense stiffened up and was able to force punts. But that play right there, where it clearly hits the thumb, clearly hits the finger, and the fact that they don't have that ability to see the replay that we got at home, something's up there. Well, I think the NFL was saving their referees' ass there, saying, oh, yeah, let's just put it on. We don't have that technology. It's a national TV game, primetime standalone game. It's on Amazon Prime. To not be able to have that camera angle, somebody's lying. Somebody's trying to cover somebody's ass yesterday in the league office. That's how I feel about it.
No,
that's unacceptable.
If that's a playoff game, if that's a week 15, 16, 17, 18 game going into the playoffs, it's magnified. I mean, these are jobs on the line. These are legacies on the line, careers on the line. Mm-hmm. It's a legacy game. But you get where I'm going. It's unacceptable. And so Nick Bosa, you're talking about, hey, the defense stepped up. Nick Bosa, I wrote his name down three or four times on that very next drive. They get a stop. Cowings gets the punt and just falls again.
Right.
After getting tackled. The Niners kind of look ugly and stall out. Mm-hmm. And then the rookie steps up and makes a big play. But this beginning, middle of the fourth quarter, every Niner fan's thinking the same thing.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Do not blow this game. You're thinking, we had a 16-0 lead. Are you kidding me? If it didn't cross your mind, I think you're fooling yourself.
No, it crossed everybody's mind. And I try to think as positive as possible. I call myself, they can't possibly lose this game. They've been in total control. But you had to figure that there was going to be a hairy moment or two in the second half because you're going to halftime up 16-3. And I'm thinking to myself, how's this game only 16-3?
I felt the same way.
And How? I mean, so, you know, they've got a lot of things to clean up. But you know what? To be able to force two straight punts, being up 23-17 with the crowd getting back into the game, then you get the big interception. That was huge. And not only that, you get the interception, you get a first and 10 at the Seattle 15. It's a predictable run to Patrick Taylor Jr. And you're thinking, here we go again with the red zone stuff. But on 3rd and 4, Purdy makes a great read. He finds Kittle after Ayuk, as Shanahan mentioned after the game. Ayuk got doubled on the play.
Yeah.
They had two guys looking at number 11 to take that away on the, I think it was a drag rider or a little,
yeah.
He called it a looky after the game. Looky. I guess it was a little drag rider or whatnot. But Kittle's right there, one-on-one. You get the touchdown. You go up 29-17. Life is good at 49 land again. But, however, the two-point conversion play, you get the penalty, and you run it right up the gut behind Jake Brindle. That was a two-point play.
And I wrote down, oh, my God, he was blasted.
Blasted. He got
blasted.
Blasted.
Blasted up the line. What's crazy about the Purdy play on that one, that touchdown, was a beautiful play. Yep. It reminded me of a second baseman making like the, when you reset your feet to throw to second base on a double play. He was looking at Ayuk, and I think he knew he wanted to go to George to kind of create some space, and he just kind of slung it in there. It was a great throw, great catch.
Great throw, great catch.
I think we underrate how difficult those tight window throws, punched in up against the goal line, and Purdy's so good at those.
He has a mustard on that football as well, and George Kittle makes a great catch. You convert the interception into a touchdown. You take advantage of a red zone opportunity. Wow, you convert a red zone opportunity to a touchdown. Go figure. So you go up 29-17. You don't get the two-point conversion, but you go up 12 and you take a commanding lead. All right, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Interceptions from Mustafa and Renardo Green. Niners get interceptions from two rookies in the same game for the first time since December 24th in 1989.
Wow.
Johnny Jackson and Keith DeLong, the last pair of rookies to come up with a pick in the same game. That's right, the first time since 1989. Oh, I love it. Let's go to
Keith DeLong, what number?
Was he number 58?
58 was always key. Yeah. Come on.
But he is 59.
Come on.
Damn it. I knew it was a 50.
Not bad. I love my white boy linebackers.
But I love Keith DeLong. What number was Johnny Jackson?
I don't know.
Johnny Jackson.
I'm look
what
that
a blast
up.
For the past. Let's go to Richie up. Rich in Richmond. Richie Rich, what's happening?
What's up, Richie Rich?
Oh, it's Livermore, dog. You know who it is, baby.
I see Richmond here. What up, Richie? What up,
yeah.
Richie Rich?
I seen the new screen caller, so he wasn't used to it. My guy, happy Friday, baby. Happy payday Friday,
it's
guys.
It's all good. Hey, Joe Hawks, he's
in the
building. He's in the building.
You know
Joe Hawks, give him stall about.
I'm in the garbage truck, dog. I'm in the garbage truck roasting. Like, all right, I'm not gonna call my guy. Dog, I'm fired up, right? Shasky, check me out, baby. I'm like you, man. I got my windows wide open. I got this big ass 85 inch TV, right? So when I watch my game, the neighbors all know that Richie's watching the Niner game because I'm lit, right? So I'm sitting here. I got this Tito's and soda water in my hand, pacing on 3rd and 3, right? Because we have not been good on 3rd down, right?
No.
Dog, I want to know how you guys fell on this play, because I damn near spilled my drink the whole 9. So it's 3rd and 3. Geno drops back, dumps it off to Kenneth Walker the 3rd, and here comes Fred Badass Warner, split those guys, and just snatched his soul, bruh. He smacked them so hard, and that right there to me, I said, they're ready to play. I mean, how do you guys feel about that play? Was that play not sick?
Was that play not sick? It was typical Fred Warner, and it was another splash play that you needed at that moment, at that time. And Fred Warner put on a DPOY performance once again on primetime television. I just wish he caught the interception. Because when they go tally up the votes at the end of the year, that's a play that may go against him, not making that interception. He was joking with Richard Sherman after the game about making that play. Sherman's like, you don't want the DPOY. You got to make that play. But that type of hit on the screenplay, getting through two blockers and making that play, that's all-time linebacker play.
When your back is up against the wall and your all-time legends come out and all make plays, Debo, Kittle, right? I mean, these are all-time legends, all-time Niner legends. Debo, Kittle, Warner, Bosa. The contributions of all the others just adds icing to the cake.
I mean, forcing a fumble, too, punching out a football. Come on,
Fred Warner. And that ball bounced right to the lineman.
I mean, come on, man. Fred Warner was all over the place. Let's go on.
He moved so well. For having that ankle injury, Bonte, he moved so well.
He was back. This mini buy is going to do him justice, too. He may have shot it up.
Yeah,
he
may have shot it up. I was just going to say, okay.
And do you see his face before the game? You see his face during a game?
Yeah.
You see his face next to Shanahan when he's giving the post-game speech? Warner was locked in. He's on a different level right now. He's fighting. He's He's competing against himself, it feels like.
And to close the loop, Keith DeLong, number 59, the last two rookies to get interceptions in the same game. And Johnny Jackson, number 40.
Johnny Jackson,
played on the 88, 40. 89, yeah, 90, 91.
Yeah. Johnny Jackson, number 40. Wow. Last time two rookies came up with picks in the same game. 1989. Wow.
Bernardo Beasley, Malik number Mustafa. 40.
And that's what we wanted to see.
Ken Willard.
That's what we wanted to see there. Young secondary playing well. And you know what? The Niners, you have to give them credit. Is all the people, we're not going to get calls today about moving in a different direction from the head coaching spot. One thing Shanahan doesn't get a lot of credit for, and John Lynch, they don't get a lot of credit for, they play their youngsters and they develop. Well, think about all these homegrown players on the 49ers right now. Homegrown talent that's helped you win division title after division title. But right now, it's 7-11. And they're tied for first place in the NFC West. And how does it feel, Niner fans? We're giving out game balls. We got shameless. Shout out to 745. A lot coming up here on the Morning Roast. And again, when the red and gold win, our listeners win. They do. The morning after every victory, be sure to tune in to the Morning Roast for your chance to win a jersey. Today, it'll be around 7:30. So stay tuned for that. Presented by Habas Law. Because Habas Law always puts people in the best position to win. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. Your phone calls. JJ Concord will get to you at 888-957-9570 is the number. Niners get a huge win up in Seattle. And we're discussing it here on the Roast.